Now, I am surely not an expert in Russian politics. Raise your hand if you are an expert in Russian politics. Not many. But I noticed that a new bust of Vladimir Putin was erected near St. Petersburg by the Cossacks. Now, the military folks can tell us what a Cossack is. Those are the little guys that wear the hats. They're like old school military, like 500 years old. But what's interesting about it is that it depicts him wearing the clothes of a Caesar, which of course is the meaning of the word czar. Now, probably not so interesting that Putin sees himself as a czar. However, it's interesting that there are others who look to him as a czar. It's as if they want a Caesar. It's as if they want to return to the old czars. Skip to the Old Testament. Now, the brutal book of Judges is a depiction of the life of Israel in the worst of its tribal condition. Several times throughout the book, the phrase is used, "In those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes." And if you read the book very closely, you'll see that that is very much the case. Everyone does what is right in their own eyes. Now, the books of 1 and 2 Samuel follow. Today's reading is a lament from Samuel the prophet. You see, he is the last of the judges who seeks to lead Israel not as a monarchy, but as a theocracy. This is a transition point between among the people of Israel because they want to be like other nations. They don't want to be seen as the backwater tribal nation, but a kingdom like Egypt, like Assyria, like Persia. The situation was actually grievous for Samuel. He wants the people to live with only one king, and that is God. And the Lord offers this warning, which you heard. I'll read a little bit of that. "These will be the ways of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them to his chariots, and to be his horsemen, and to run before his chariots. He will appoint for himself commanders of thousands, commanders of fifties, some to plow his ground and to reap his harvest, to make his implements of war and the equipment of his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take 1/10 of your grain and of your vineyards and give it to his officers and courtiers," etc. In other words, if you want a king, it's going to cost you. And it's going to cost you quite a bit. Now, there's something slightly similar in the book of 2 Corinthians. The church of Corinth was full of problems. There was division, arrogance, a disparity between the rich and poor, sexual immorality. By the time Paul writes this letter, the church in Corinth had latched on to a group that Paul calls the super apostles. These were false apostles. They were not unlike the slick preachers perhaps you find on your television, or the ones who are now taking over the two-thirds world, who say, "You will be prosperous if you follow me. You'll have an airplane if you follow me," etc. Promising health, wealth, prestige. These were sort of like these super apostles. The Corinthians were so easily swayed because of these false apostles' ability to talk a good game and to swell their Corinthian egos, which was not hard to do. Corinth was a city that had been destroyed and then rebuilt, and it was recolonized by the Romans. And it was recolonized with the best, the cream, the wealthy, the best kind of colonists. Plus, they had the temple of Aphrodite overlooking them. So they looked for big things. They looked for a successful city, to be a successful city. And when a super apostle would come and say, you can be even better than you are. You can have experiences like you've never known. Don't look at that Paul guy. Look at us. Both our Old Testament reading and this one from 2 Corinthians offer some insight on some very old but very common temptations. The first is to see all of life's problems, all of life's issues and suffering to be solved by those who are powerful, those who can do something about it. And the second is to shortcut all problems and all suffering, to follow what itching ears want to hear, and to trust in human rather than God's ways. So they're actually just one temptation. Looking to the human, looking to trust in human power, human prestige, rather than to God. When the children of Israel wanted their king, even Samuel was jealous for the Lord. Yet God did answer their prayer. You always get the king you deserve. God chose Saul to be king. He was tall. He was handsome. He was skilled in military endeavors. He was just what they wanted. But Saul was not all in for the Lord, but for himself. As king, he disobeyed God. After Samuel had died, Saul consulted a medium to bring Samuel back to give him advice. You don't have to be an expert in the Torah. What's your guess? You think the Torah allows seeking a medium? Probably not. You're right, it doesn't. It was strictly forbidden. So they got the king they deserved. Even when David and Solomon were kings of Israel, there was division, immorality, idolatry. After Solomon, the kingdom was torn in two, never to be united again. They got their wish. They got their wish. Now, of course, our country is not a monarchy. But don't we think to ourselves, if we just had the right people in power, or we're glad the right people are in power, they're going to solve the problems of the day. If we can just get the politicians to do what we want, everything will be fine. Where then is our trust? Isn't it better also to simply avoid problems and suffering? Some in the church in Corinth thought they had found the right message with the false apostles, because they were truly spiritual and truly positive. What was Paul's message? The cross and suffering. Much of 2 Corinthians contains Paul's defense of his apostleship. I'd like to say more about 2 Corinthians in the coming weeks. And he gives his rationale for his approach to discipleship. His method is simple. Preach the cross. Live the cross. And put your hope in the resurrection. Here's what Paul says his defense of his apostleship is. 5 times I received the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. 9 days I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers. Danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is made to fall, and I am not indignant? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show weakness. Back to those temptations. Looking for human solutions to solve God's problems. What's the answer? What we need to realize is that when we do not trust in God or in Christ, the cross and the resurrection, we are blank slates. We will trust any message that is the most loud, that is the loudest, and is the most convincing. Someone or something is forming us or deforming us spiritually, whether we would like to admit it or not. Politics, media, entertainment, marketing, whatever it is. Eat, pray, love, whatever, to whomever. As Christians, we must be formed as Paul was formed, by the cross and the resurrection. Living a life that is cross-shaped. Paul says what is unseen is what is eternal. What is seen is what is temporary. This means finding a cross-shaped way of maneuvering through life. A third way, if you will. I mentioned Canon Andrew White and his problems with ISIS. His church, of course, is all in exile. He's in exile. Many of his people have been killed. And so they find themselves in Jordan. It'd be very easy for him to say, and of course he does talk with the powerful, but it would be very easy for him to say, the kings of the earth have let these people down. And that could be all he ever talked about. The kings of the earth have failed. All of the Western powers have failed. He could spend all of his time talking about that. But what does he do? He starts a school in Jordan. Because that's where the children are in need. I get his updates, and listen to what he says here. Greetings from Amman. Life here continues to be crazy busy as usual, dealing with the many various aspects of our work to do with relief, reconciliation, worship, education, and health care. There are so many needs, but with your help, we are meeting them. The school, which has only been established for a few months, is just getting bigger and better all the time. I just got some reading glasses, by the way, and I'm not wearing them. At first, some families were worried about sending their children to the school. Now the demand is so great, we simply cannot get any more children in. Initially, we were concerned that the school was not providing any accreditation. Now the Jordanians and the Iraqis are wanting to provide accreditation. Just yesterday, the Iraqi embassy was present, stating they wanted to enable the school to be officially licensed to provide recognized Iraqi education. So this, by far, is better than anything we could have imagined. When I came back this time, I brought with me a large number of olive wood crosses for all the children. The children were so excited to get these. I was particularly moved by one little boy who said, Abuna, you know that word, Father, you are just like God, because whenever you say you will do something, you do it. You said you would bring us all across, and you did. See, Abuna, you are just like God. This is a cross-shaped way of dealing with human issues. Yes, you work with the powers that be, but you don't depend on them. You look for what God is doing and where God is moving. We are an Easter people, and Alleluia is our cry, said St. Augustine. There is a glory that awaits all people of the cross in this life and the next. For Paul, the suffering in the body that we experience in this life are nothing to the glory which is revealed when we journey to the next. For Paul, the resurrection of Christ not only brings us hope, it is the hope of the world. For Paul, without the resurrection of Jesus, there is no hope. Without the resurrection, Christianity, the church, is all a charade. But I love his words. We hope for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal.